Reuven Levy, broadcasting to the world from the holy Chutzal Chesed Yeshiva in Yerushalayim. We're learning the book Gan HaShalom, the Garden of Peace. If you look, go downstairs into the room just below here, there's a great picture on the wall of this. The cover of this, someone painted it. It's on the wall in the room directly opposite, right below me.
Oh, nice. Anyway, that they transpose the image on the English cover.
Why they swapped you around?
That's it goes this way, and the Hebrew cover goes this way.
Because the birds are Hebrew, they read. They fly.
They got English birds for the English cover.
They fly from right to left or from left to right. Tov, we are on page 77 in the Hebrew version of the book. We've been talking about putting our wife in first place, and even in such stressful situations as when a wife may be upset, angry at the children, what do I do? So even in those situations, my job is to put my wife first and to not follow my instinct to just protect the kids and to tell my wife that she'd overreacted and stop shouting at them and etc. etc. No. The correct thing to do in that situation is to protect my wife first, meaning to put her number one, to make sure she is okay, to appease her, to make her happy, and the kids will benefit by doing so. The Sikkum in Rabbi Abraham. In conclusion, Baal Sheh Samet Ishtob Makom Rishon, a husband that puts his wife first, and doesn't criticize her at all. As I bederech klal, he lo marbel itzok al yiladim, ki he mosheret. So generally speaking, she's not going to shout at the children because she's going to be happy. Ubaotam pa'amim shehi b'cholzot mitparetzet. Zelom azik lahem. And on those rare occasions that she does explode and shouts at them, it's not going to damage them. But if he criticizes her on this, shehitzoeket, that she was screaming at them, magen al yiladav, tries to protect the children, etc., as ehi margisha shehem yoter choshuvim beinav, she will feel that they're more important in his eyes, mimena, from her, v'hi memoremeret, as a tongue twister. Right? If he does that, he gives his wife the feeling she's not number one, she gets more upset, more angry, and shouts even more. So, sof kol sof, put our wife in first place, whatever happens. Orin kan shua beti yasof. We see here again the fundamental principle. She'al yidei vitor. That through nullifying ourselves, through cancelling our own will, we benefit a lot. Just like we saw before, that when a husband gives up his time, he saves the time that he would have otherwise had to spend on appeasing his wife, and to making her happy, and to return her to having trust and confidence in him. Right? The short road which is long, and the long road which is short. Right? If we put our wives first and we cancel ourselves, we give up our own time, and we're going to see it actually saves us a lot of time in the long run. Why? We save all that time that we're going to have to spend otherwise trying to fix the damage we did by trying to save ourselves 5 minutes. Gan kan, ayideshim vater rachmanuta klapei yeladim hum aviach habemod. So to here, Rav Arash is explaining the same idea works also. By cancelling our apparent mercy for our children, we actually benefit a lot. Imsa, it turns out, shalom rab bin yanim, shalzman v'isokim tzrichim levater. Not only in the areas of time and busying myself, do I need to cancel myself? Ela b'chol sugei hanisyonot, but also in all types of experiences. Shebahem bali dei bitui, that in them, dei bitui yayacha shel bal ishto, in them comes the expression of the relationship between the husband and the wife. Ke'el hadavah chashuv biyoteh b'chayav. Sarich sheyeh hacham lada'at levater velo lipol bereshet hayitzahara. Husband needs to know when to give in and not to fall into the hands of his yitzahara. La'giv kafi tivot, which would mean simply to react according to his nature, according to my own instinct. V'yeda latet l'ishto et ha'hargasha shehi b'makom rishon. And to give my wife the feeling that she is in the first place. Gam b'mikre hazeh v'gam b'ofen hazeh. Also in this occasion and on that occasion. Ha'idei zeh hu yachsoch harbeh ma'od yisurim kashim. And through doing that, I will save myself from a lot of suffering and difficulties. Achen tzrichin l'palel al kol l'nekuda kuda harbeh ma'od. Therefore, in order to achieve that, husband needs to pray very much. Shelo yavo alav yom mibli litpalel azeh kama dakot. Not to let a day go by without praying on it at least a few minutes. Yivakesh mevoreh sheyazor lo, to ask Hashem to help him. Atet l'ishto et hamakom rishon b'chayav, that I will put my wife in first place. Okay. Yeshnam zugot, there are couples. Shelebal yesh yiladim. There are couples where a husband has children from his first marriage. Now in his second marriage, he's got children from his first marriage. This presents its own problems. Maybe that it doesn't apply to us sitting here, but it's also useful to know because we can learn from it too. Many times it seems to the husband, shekol ha'era she'ishto hishniya me'ira liyadav. All the criticism that his wife is putting on his children, and all the complaints that she has against them, and every response she has against them, the husband thinks that the wife is acting in a negative way towards his children from his first marriage. And she's criticizing them, treating them unfairly. And it's all because they're not her children and she doesn't love them. But a husband in this situation needs to know that he's making a mistake. The only reason why the wife is acting negatively towards his children is because he is not giving her the belief and feeling that she is in first place above them. He's not showing his wife that he loves her more than he loves his children. In short, that she's in first place. Therefore, she's going to react like any woman. The proof. If the situation was the opposite, if she came to the marriage with children from her first marriage, and he was to give her children love more than he gives to her, she would also react in the same way. Meaning what? She would be angry against her own children. Why? Because he was putting them above her. The wife is going to react negatively, angrily towards anything or anyone that I place above her. It doesn't matter if it's children, my children, her children, my rabbi, my teachings, my learning, my business, whatever it is. She's not going to like my mother. Whatever it is that I put above her is going to be the source of her complaint. B'choshet can. She'yesh la siba nosefet. L'chashod shehem chashubim lo yoter mimena. And all the more so here, where she's got additional reason to feel threatened and to suspect that maybe they're more important to him than she is. Since they're his children and not her children. So she's going to feel more threatened in this occasion, in this place. Yofi. Next, Parnasa. Odd Dugma, another example. Mivchanim Ambaral, Be'emet, Ro'er, Tishtob, and Makom Rishoneslo, Huba, Inyan Parnasa. So another example of where we can really see whether or not the husband is putting his wife in first place is in the case of Parnasa. How so? Chazal Amru, our rabbis taught us, Shetzarech Abal La'otzim Amon Bishvil L'chabedet Hishto Yoter Mima She'eshlo. We learned from our rabbis that a husband is obligated to spend money on his wife more than he can actually afford. He's meant to spend, we're told, three things for spending on Parnasa. On our wives, more than we can afford. On our children, what we can afford. And on ourselves, less than we can afford. Right? That means if your wife is looking in the jewelry window, she sees something really nice, and you're into that, well, we can't really afford that right now. That's exactly the time to go and buy it, because we can't really afford it right now. You're then fulfilling the words of Chazal. And you will see, Be'ezrat Hashem, big brachot from that. I can tell you personally, I've done that. Bought my wife jewelry that we're really not within our budget right now. And it was a very big segula. It was very helpful. Our income was much better after that. Adam sheyesh lo vichuchim im ishto b'inyan hakesev sarich lechem. A man who has arguments with his wife over the question of money needs to consider the following. If he had truly in place the concept that his wife is in first place in his life, lifnei hakesef, comes before the money, lifnei hakol, before everything, it would save himself a lot of arguments and sorrow. Any time that the wife asks from her husband for money, he should give to his wife everything that he can give her with a full heart. Because apart from the fact of the basic requirement he has in order sustain her, well, maybe to give her panasa. We also have the concept of putting her in first place. That we have to show a wife that she is more important even than our money.
And the mincha.
More than mincha and more than money. It's the MSG. Hopefully not.
But all she wants is my money.
She wants to know that she's more important than your money. You have to give her your money in order to show her that. Money.
I already gave her as nothing left.
And
now she knows.
Huh?
Honey, you're better than money.
Your money, yeah.
No money, no honey.
The money or the honey? It's all yours. What's mine is yours, what's yours is yours. Career. Amar Mefusam, Shaya Asuk, Bahafka. Hafakat Proyet Chashuv. It's Kavakashim B'Shalom Bayit. Right, so there was a well-known professional that was artist that was busy on a certain project, and he was suffering with problems of Shalom Bayit. Ishto Kivlai Teroshem Hapochet Yoter Chashuv Lo Mimena. The wife believed, she felt that the project was more important than she was. Miyad nechnasa ba hitnagdut l'chol ha'inyan, and therefore immediately was against him in all areas. He hechela litzokolav. She began to shout at him, "Imasme yimei haproject," and said, "I'm fed up with this project that you're working on all the time. Haproject yoter chashuv lacha mimeni. It's more important than me. May I live with the kids? May I buy it in the house?" Rav Rashi, he lo mochana b'shum ofen sheyamshif haproject hazeh. And she told him that she's not prepared at all that he continues with this project. And of course, the whole house was shaking from the arguments and the annoyance. Kasher ba'alei chayetziti, when he came to ask me advice, I taught him the wisdom of my commission, first place. And I advised him to tell her explicitly. Shekola project hazeh lo ma'anyen ota b'chlal. But this entire project did not interest him at all. But she yelech akol li'ibud mitzidot. And from his point of view, the whole thing could just go. He's not interested in it. Kol ha'avodah she'eshkia ba'ametz ba'mamon lo ma'anyen ota li'ada. And all the time and effort of money he'd invested in it up till now, not it didn't interest in it. It's not. Don't care. Halash Shema B'Koli. He listened to my voice. Lo Arachas Man B'Ishto Hechela Ba'atzma La'ut B'Shvilo. Not long after, his wife began herself to run after him, to push him, L'Dchof L'Otzieta project Elapo, to push him to finish the project and make it reality. Put it into, make it happen. Right? Whenever a wife is against something, it's because that thing is in first place. If your wife does not like your mother, it's because she feels threatened. You put your mother in first place above her. If your wife does not like your cooking, it's because you're putting your cooking above her. Whatever it is, your career, whatever it is that she's against, if you look for the root, you will probably see that you actually put it above her. And once you remove that obstacle, if the thing is good for you, then she'll be very happy. She'll push you to do it. Bli hashva'ot, without comparisons. Hamitchara hachi gadola sheyesh lisha. The greatest competition that a wife has, he called Isha Acheret, is any other woman. Therefore, this is something that needs to be made very, very clear to a husband. That he should not mention the name of any other woman in his own house. That you will not hear the name of the mentioned on my lips. Right? You can't talk about another woman. You can't mention her name. As soon as you mention the name, bing, bing, bing goes the radar. Oh, he's thinking about that woman. Right? You're now thinking about a woman that's not me. Right? If your wife met her with her best friend, and they went for lunch, and you want to come back and you want to speak to her, you say, "Oh, how was your lunch? Or how was your lunch with your friend?" Maximum. Don't say, "How was your lunch with Sarah?" Now you're in trouble. Oh, Sarah is it now? So who's Sarah to, right? Now all the alarms are going off. You're not allowed to mention the name of another woman. Sounds innocuous to us. It's meaningful for a woman. That's how they work. If you want shalom bayit, you don't mention any other woman's name in your house. And you have to use your brains to get around that, find out how to use it. How's your sister doing these days? How's whatever? Talk, if you have to. Right, if that's relevant to even ask those questions. Yes, but not even... Once you mention the name has power. The name is the essence of the person. You bring existence to that person by mentioning their name. Names are very powerful. So when you mention the name, that has meaning for me.
Well, the family phone rings.
Yes.
And it's a woman, one of her friends.
You're right. So, Tom, very good. Very good. He said, what do? Your phone rings, you pick it up, and it happens to be Sarah. My wife, it's for you. It's someone. Tom. So.
Don't say it.
First, best is don't answer the phone. Serious. Don't answer the phone. For a start, I never answer the phone because it's never to be.
Yeah.
If anyone's calling me, they're calling me on this personal thing. Anytime the phone rings at home, absolutely, I can tell you, the last time I got a call on my own home phone, can't even remember. Months. Not even weeks. Months. No one ever called me. So don't answer the phone. If you have to, you can say it's for you.
Okay.
And you don't need to get into it. In fact, it's better not to. Because once you start asking the lady on the other line, who can I tell who's calling? You don't need to make conversation with some strange woman.
Well, I don't need to because I recognize the voice.
But you can just say it's for you.
Okay. But you can say the wife of Shimon.
Yeah, if you know who it is and you could use that way better. And if not, you can say it's for you. And if she looks at you and says, who is it? Or whatever, fine. It's better to put up with that 2 minutes of discomfort, which she'll have forgotten by the time she's finished the phone call, than to say, it's Sarah. She's like, right there, Tom, now you've got it. If possible. Tom, these are all good 8 salt that everyone, the more we can do it, the better we're going to benefit. And if we find a situation where we can't do it, it didn't happen, Tom. So it didn't happen once in a while. We limited it to one mention of a woman in the house every month. Tom, you'll feel much better than 5 mentions a day that I'm currently speaking about. This one's for you. Tom, much better. We should do what we can. And we should know that it's only to our benefit.
My father was a very dominant person, and he would be very unhappy when my mother was speaking to her friends. So whenever a friend called, and he would answer, they would hang up.
I'm not sure it's a classic Shalom Bayit answer. It's something worth considering. Tom, okay. Don't answer the phone. It's not for me. It's now usually for my kids. If a husband compares his wife to any other woman, but ezon oseh sheyeh in any subject whatsoever, kagon sheomer sheisha plonit mesaderet beita metuv ta'am b'kotzei bazeh. For example, he says that a certain woman, so and so, cleans her house very nice. If you go to someone for Shabbat dinner and the place is spotless, and you come back and you say to your wife, wow, see that house really clean. You're not thinking anything. You're just like, Tom, you're just making conversation. Right, that's, right, we have to think, right? It's not a walk in the park to be married it takes wisdom to be happy married. Or she nechona b'yofi, or that she's blessed with beauty, chok, wisdom, well, then you're really in trouble, right? Af she oseh ken b'tom lev, even though he said it with a simple heart, I wasn't meaning to compare my wife, it was just an obvious fact. Zo ha'ta'ot hachi garua she yechol lasot, that's the worst mistake that he can ever make. Bazehu dochet ishto me'amakom ishon. Doing this, he pushes his wife out of first place, lorat b'makom sheni, and not only to second place, ela l'tachtit mamash, but to like the worst place. Right? From her point of view, to say, wow, that house was tidy, doesn't just put my wife into second in the tidiness stakes. No, it puts everyone else, like that woman, in first, and my wife is nowhere, it's not even on the page. I'm not even considered in the tidiness stakes. V'chen im makdish zman or tzumat lev le'ezo isha ba'olam ishto la yukhola lespol ezeh. And so too, if I dedicate time or attention to any other woman, then my wife can't stand it. There is an inyan, gentlemen, in where in the groups that we came from, which is that they don't separate the sexes. We don't do that at a Shabbos table. Everything's mixed. We don't have a machitza down the middle of the table. And depending on which houses you eat with, some of the men sit on one side of the table and the women the other. Sometimes, well, and even if they are men generally over here, trust me, we now do that. It's much easier. We now try and put the guys down here and the ladies over there. The ladies can talk about what they want to talk about. The guys can talk about what they want to talk about. It's a much more enjoyable Shabbos.
On the separate table?
On the same table. Where people are sitting. Normally, we've for Shabbos for the last 15 years.
That's more enjoyable.
I tell you, for 15 years, we were doing it the regular way. Everybody sit where you want to enjoy. Sit next to your husband, sit wherever, right. That's the standard received wisdom of the best. If you've ever had to sit through a conversation about what women talk about, it's not interesting. We tried it.
It's very interesting.
Okay, so
you
okay.
Get the female perspective, you get the male perspective.
Guys talk about guy stuff. We've been doing it now for about 6 months a year. When people come, we're not rigid, and if they want to sit, but generally speaking, if they say, where should we sit? So say, well, why don't John, you and here sit here, and then we'll chat, and then the women can chat over there, right? And I sit and chat over the table, and we're like usually there till after dinner, we're like the whole meal. And otherwise, it's all kind of, what's the problem? The problem, firstly, is a sneak problem. You're not a married man yet, Baruch Hashem, you will be. It is not possible. Let's close the Ganash Shalom book and open up the Briti AUD. It's actually in this book too, the Briti Shalom book, right? It is not possible for a man to have a conversation with a woman and not be thinking improper thoughts. It's not possible, and don't tell me it is.
It is. I've done it plenty of times. Laser Brody looks at women and he says he only sees them in the Shema. So how is it so hard?
Because you're not Laser Brody. And you haven't worked on yourself for the last 20 years. Make that statement.
I have never looked at a girl and be like, oh my God, she's so... No.
I'm not talking about, oh my God, she's so. I'm talking about, well... Anyway, as I was saying, that split second is what killed you. That split second, it doesn't matter. I don't need to be fantasizing that I'm with her in the penthouse on some hotel. It doesn't mean that.
Even if you think it she's means really it, ugly any, or this or this.
Any woman that is attractive, which is 99% of the women we meet, is attractive. It's truth. It's truth. In a certain way, the eye sees and the lev chomed. You can't argue with the way Hashem created the world. Anyone who argues with that is lying to themselves. It's a simple truth. I look at a woman. I don't have any thoughts. It's a lie.
So
does Brody have
those thoughts?
If he has worked on himself, then he can answer that question. I can't answer what he's going to answer for you. But if you have that personal conversation with him, and
what about Orthodox rabbis? They have to talk to him.
Mamash.
Why can't she have Laser Brody this way? Because he said it in his lecture. He was like, I see a woman, all I see is her neshama. Yes, I go to all the
maybe he's mentoring women.
He spoke to my wife, and my wife says, I don't enjoy speaking to Laser Brody because he does not look at me.
My wife said the same thing. He's really there, I'm not looking at women.
Well, then I guess he said one thing. And he
so what do we say? We're saying even a person who's worked on themselves a lot does not look. Why? Because it's impossible. It's not something in my control. It's not in my control that I'm going to decide now on my own control that I'm going to look at you and talk, and I'm not going to have any thought. I can't, even if I, that's mamash what I want to do, right? I still can't. It's not within my control. It's going to happen. So what do? I try and limit my exposure so to the best I can. I'm not going to go around with my sweater over my head, but I do what I can. Same thing is true of my Shabbos table. I do what I can. Right? I'm going to still speak, and there's a conversation that they cross. Right? But generally speaking, I'm not going to put a stumbling block. Not for myself, not for the husband on the other side who has to speak to my wife. And what we're learning here, we're learning one small point is that you should know, by the way, that if you do speak to that wife, your wife is going ballistic. She's not saying anything, but she is suffering. How can he be speaking to her? Yeah, but they're at a table. It's normal. It's a social again.
But
she
is not.
She is not happy. You are destroying your shalom by it. As soon as you spend time or attention on another woman, you're destroying your body. You're destroying. Your wife cannot accept it.
It's so serious that at a Shabbos table, that my wife was so affected by it that she actually did a cartoon on Jerusalem Cats about this, and she called it flirtatious enemies, namely friends that are actually enemies. And she was really, really upset. Just go to JerusalemCats.com and scroll down.
Any true woman does not want their husband speaking to any other woman. She doesn't. If she cares and loves her husband and wants to protect him, she doesn't want him speaking to any other woman. And any woman that says, oh no, yes, free for it, she's lying to herself. Mama, she's lying to herself. And just the same way that she doesn't want you speaking to anyone else, so the same thing.
This go for Orthodox communities or just Preston?
Any woman.
Serious Orthodox communities separate the sexes as much as they can. Some do it to different levels. But I'm telling you, in just as a practical, it's much better. It's much, but not only from an Indian Shabbat and I. Shabbat is just the table conversation. I can talk Torah, I can talk football, I can talk whatever. You try and talk Torah or football with a woman.
I've done it.
Yofi, that's because you're dating. It's a different Indian there. Trust me.
Not on Shabbat. I don't date on Shabbat.
No, but like it's at that level, meaning it's not.
I don't know. When you're at the rabbis and you're doing that, you don't think about women in that way because it's not appropriate. Just like here, I guard my eyes when I'm in this community because that's what the community does and I abide by.
Uh-huh. But when you're at the Shabbos table with your friends and neighbors who you're social with, right, then you don't have that instinctive barrier. Everything is a free-for-all. It's John, it's Tracy, it's this, this one, right? It's like, it's guys, no. Beers, drink, coffee, anyone, right? And suddenly all those barriers are down. And even more so, and those are are times when a person needs to actually, let's not forget ourselves. You know, guys, we'll chat over here. Girls, enjoy yourselves, right? It's very, can be very dangerous. Very dangerous, particularly people that you're familiar with. It's very easy to get into, to forget ourselves. And to become very friendly, unfortunately.
I mean, these things are not only hard for men to realize, they're hard for women in this generation to realize too. And so, like when we went to a friend's house, there were three couples, and I was wondering, you know, how the couples would sit around the table and how we would be split up. And a small table, but all the conversation, the women were listening to their own conversation. And I told my wife after Shabbat, I said, you know, I didn't have a chance to speak to you. And this is what she throws at me usually, saying, I'm always out of it. You know, whenever I go, I'm afraid to go to you or the shiurim. Whenever I try to come to the yeshiva, so somehow something always happens to her. And I told her, look, now I know what you're talking about. I felt out of it. You were with your friends. You were talking about things that I don't talk about. I don't want to know about their children so much. I don't want to know how the grandchildren and who's married to whom. And we were talking Torah. And it kind of naturally split down in a way. And I told her, I said, after that, she's like, right, it's natural. It's natural for women. Does women talk? And does men talk? Of course, if you're talking politics in a way which we're told not to talk about, that's everything talk. Or we're talking about dating with guys and girls at the same table, that's everyone. For single people, everyone's involved in that. And, but there's certain kinds of topics that are men topics and women topics. And I think it's even more emphasized in the Haredi world, because that's the way they're brought up.
Yeah. Well, so that's what
it's
right.
So it's foreign to us. It's foreign to us.
Look, things also become more practical once. Like, for example, now my topics of conversation are different than they were. I don't talk about what's on TV. I don't have a TV. Whereas in the past, I talked about what's on TV. Well, then that's, I know everyone has their own opinion on what was on. It's not a male-female thing. But now my thoughts, especially on Shabbat, are more towards Torah and those sorts of ideas. And women, although women also like talk, but they're actually not so interested in talking Torah.
Where I worship with the rabbi and the people there, women are into Torah. They hold on to it best, and they are sometimes more knowledgeable than guys.
No,
it's a different community, and I respect what you're saying.
Okay. I think things also change. Women change, right? And so.